This is F1 Debrief. We're not quite ready to let you infiltrate the racing. On this show, we discuss elimination-style qualifying, the butterfly effect of F1, and an alternative to the closed cockpit solution.
Here we are again. The F1 Commission / Strategy Group / Mean Fiddlers have been twiddling with the F1 rules one more time. We've been here before, right? We did this time last year. Someone suggested that refueling was going to come back. We got all excited. We recorded a podcast. Nothing. Am I right?
You are absolutely correct.
And yet here we are one more time. More rule changes, more suggestions, more twiddling about from the people in charge in the hope that they're going to try and find the magic lightning in a bottle that makes F1 exciting again. What is on the cards?
This time it does seem more likely to go through as opposed to refueling that just disappeared quietly again, because I think it's less of an overhaul, really. They want to improve the show, and for some reason they've decided that qualifying is the thing that needs fixing. I'm not so sure about that. I've never really had a problem with qualifying.
Who are they, first of all? Who are we talking about? Who have made these changes?
Well, it's the F1 Strategy Group. They met with the F1 Commission and said, we'd like to change qualifying. And the F1 Commission said, yeah, that's fine. It all has to go before the World Motorsport Council. So it could still not happen, but we think it probably will.
It's worth mentioning that the World Motorsport Council can't actually make any changes. They can only say, yes, this is happening, or no, it isn't. So what changes have been put forward?
Well, I'm sure everyone has seen it by now, but the point is that qualifying is no longer going to be three sessions to do what you can and see where the chips fall at the end. Now it's three sessions of elimination, where the slowest driver is knocked out every 90 seconds. They haven't decided the intricate details, but for example, Q1 is going to be 16 minutes long. After 7 minutes, the slowest driver is knocked out, and so on, every 90 seconds until the end of the session. Same for Q2, same for Q3, until two drivers end up fighting for pole position in the final 90 seconds. So it's very similar to what we have already. It's just more of an ongoing process instead of the bit where qualifying one starts and you wait for 10 minutes before anything actually happens.
It sounds like we're going to end up with exactly the same grid as we already have. The changes are so minor. I'm confused as to why this change is being required.
The fastest drivers are still going to end up near the top. I can see that there might be a few bits like, oh my God, can you imagine the complaints about traffic we're going to get?
True. But we already have a qualifying system whereby occasionally a big name driver makes a mistake and ends up at the back. He's out of position, but the rest of the grid is predictable. Surely that's the outcome that can happen. That's the possibility we're looking at here. Somebody makes mistakes, somebody gets put under pressure, and therefore they're out of position. But we're not expecting everybody to be out of position. This isn't the magic fix you're looking for in F1, whereby the fastest car, you don't want the fastest car to be at the front of the field because the fastest driver in the fastest car is just going to run off into the distance. That's presumably the problem they're looking to solve here. It doesn't sound like this is going to solve that.
Well, exactly. I don't have a problem with this change, except that it's change for change's sake, because it doesn't fix the problem. There's not really that much wrong with qualifying, except for those few dull minutes at the start of each session that I mentioned. All I can see is that it's going to create other problems like traffic, like how they're going to time it, what happens if there's a red flag, what happens if it rains, all these things.
What happens if there's a yellow flag? That's going to cause all sorts of chaos, right? What happens to the timings then?
There's also a line in the FIA document that says the final elimination in each session occurs at the checkered flag, not when the time is up. Now, to me, those two things are the same. The timer counts down to zero and the checkered flag is waved.
Currently.
I think they must have put that in there to say, you know, that thing where if you're on a lap, you can complete your lap even after the checkered flag has dropped. I think that isn't going to happen anymore.
Okay.
But that sentence is confusing. So it seems like there are more questions than answers at the moment, and I don't really understand what this is going to change.
So are you excited to learn about these potential changes? We should say this could potentially come in for this season.
It is really, really close to the start of the season. I mean, I'm all for saying it's not that big a change, but when it comes to actually doing it, if you've only got a few weeks to prepare, this is going to be tricky.
And if it doesn't happen this year, then it could be put back to 2017. I do wonder whether the right people have been assigned to make this decision, because the strategy group is made up of principals from six teams, and Bernie and Jean Todt. None of those people are engineers. None of those people are drivers. None of those people are out there during qualifying, making the places, making the times, and making this happen. And I'm not sure any of those people the people who will inevitably have to be out there driving, have to make the decisions, have to make the calls from the pits, got any say in this at all? And that seems to be a disconnect which could do with being solved before any more decisions get made, I think. It's good that the changes aren't out there and totally radical, that you know, this isn't offensive to Formula One traditionalists, for example. That's a good thing. But I do wonder if maybe more people could have been consulted. Has there been much feedback, or what's the response from drivers or other people in the paddock?
A few drivers have had their say. Champion Lewis Hamilton said, "Generally, the format is the same, but it just puts more focus on ensuring you get your laps in, and it keeps people out, making sure they're out all the time. Hopefully, it will be good for spectators, maybe." Now, that maybe at the end makes me think that he doesn't really care either way.
Yes, or perhaps he just doesn't want to commit right now, because, I mean, it's only been out for a couple of days, right? He hasn't had that much time to think about it.
Daniel Ricciardo said, "There's no limit on how many things they can change, but if you were prioritising, there are other things which would come first, for sure."
He's so right. Yes.
And Carlos Sainz, bless him, he said of the new regulations, or the new proposal, "I read it very briefly and I didn't understand it. If it makes things more spectacular, then it's welcome. I just hope that the fans that are not big fans of Formula One and just turn on their TV on Sunday understand it and they know what's happening. That's maybe my only worry, because if I didn't understand it at first glance, then maybe that means it's a bit complicated." Doesn't seem that much more complicated.
It doesn't. It feels like you have this in games a lot, right? When you play console games and that kind of thing, sports games on consoles, you have elimination rounds. So I feel like we've been through that when we've been playing in the past. So it's not a completely brand new concept. I don't know if in any other sports do this. Perhaps they do. Or whether it's just a gaming thing. But, you know, hopefully someone's done a simulation, or someone's, you know, ran the numbers and looked into this, and this isn't just pie in the sky. We're making stuff up as we go along, and there's actually some backing or background, you know, to prove that this works before you put it on national television and hope to God that it does.
Fingers crossed. Mm. But in the games, the car that's eliminated just sort of disappears, poof, into smoke, just dissolves. Mm. In real life, I don't know how are they going to manage like slower cars out on track at the same time,
because the car's
just very worried about traffic.
The car's going to be on track when it's likely to be on track. I mean, it could be in the pits, I suppose. The car is likely to be on track when it's eliminated, and then it has to return to the pits. It can't pull over to one side and can't just disappear. So it's going to be in the way. It has to be. But I suppose it already is in qualifying. You already have that problem.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be a lot worse. And we already get complaints about, you know, this car was in my way and this one and that one, and I'm just concerned.
Penalties. That's the concern, isn't it? Endless penalties for Sunday for people who are blocking and in the way, especially at the beginning as people get used to it and get their heads around it. Yeah, that could be tricky. It does feel like there's a lot of pressure on the pit crews, on the people on the pit wall, making the calls, making the decisions, keeping the drivers informed. They haven't got much time to prepare for this at all.
Pat Simmons said, "This year we have more say in the selection of the tyres. We've already made the nominations for the first few races, and we've done that without the knowledge that the qualifying procedure was going to change. I'm sure that as we analyse it, we will say, had we known this, we would have chosen differently. But the fact is, we're in the same boat, so I don't think it's such a big deal." I do think that's quite a big deal. The tyre nominations had to be made ridiculously early this year because they've changed all that, and now everything is changed underneath them.
This could be the new plan to spice up Formula One, is just to change the rules on an ad hoc basis and not tell anybody, right? So like, oh, by the way, the rules change next month, deal with it and just see what happens. Some people who are concerned, I imagine, would be the people who are in charge of the F1 timing app. You know, the mobile app you can buy to follow F1 live throughout the season?
Yes.
That all needs to be rewritten. And they don't know right now whether or not they should start rewriting it, because these rules have not been sworn in, but at the same time, if they leave it any later, they're not going to have time to finish it. So how are those people and the people in charge of timing at the track going to have time to change their systems and make things ready for the start of the season, which is only weeks away?
It is surprising how many people are affected by, at the beginning of the show, I said, it's not really that big a change, but actually it affects a lot of people.
In very small ways, in very minor ways. It's like, you know, you make one decision, but the unintended consequences just filter down to more and more people. So there's a lot of programmers and engineers, I imagine, are going to be having a few sleepless nights between now and the opening race.
It wasn't just qualifying that was discussed by the strategy group and the F1 commission. They've also put forward a Driver of the Day award. As the document puts it, viewers will be encouraged to vote online for their Driver of the Day throughout a Grand Prix, with the winner to be announced as part of the race broadcast immediately following the conclusion of the race, when the driver will be presented with their prize. So on the face of it, I'm fine with that because, you know, it saves us doing a poll on our website.
Right.
And Driver of the Day is always a fun thing to talk about and decide. I am worried whether they've talked to Bernie about this, because if the Driver of the Day is on the podium, then presenting them with an award is going to intrude on the podium etiquette. Mm-hmm. And he's very fussy about that. Mm. And then also, like, if they're just going to chase someone down in the pit lane and give them a prize or something. The post-race stuff is always feels very hurried and frantic to me anyway, and I don't want them squeezing more things in and doing it haphazardly.
I wouldn't mind betting that it's only the pay-per-view broadcasters that get to cover this. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a bit that happens after the free-to-air broadcasters go off air, because they're obviously on a tight timescale, and the people like Sky, who broadcast forever, who are like broadcasting into the night and into the next day.
We've got our own channel.
We're still at the paddock, you know, we're still broadcasting as the motorhomes come down. Might get an exclusive on that, because it sort of seems to be designed for broadcasters to give them more value. Presumably it's going to be via social media that people get to vote.
Well, it says vote online, so maybe there'll be like a poll on F1.com or something like that.
It's good. I mean, the danger with this is when you put it alongside something like Fan Boost, the thing that Formula E are doing, where you get to actually, fans get to make a difference to the race. You get to have a tiny, tiny influence over the outcome or the events that unfold in the Grand Prix. And here, all you do is you get to vote on a driver who gets a trophy. And it just seems so out of date. I mean, it's good that they're doing it, but it needs to be that and then more.
It's like, we're trying, but we're not quite ready to let you infiltrate the racing itself. Mm.
You can have this tiny little concession to fans.
Well, it's probably a good thing, though, because whenever I've watched the Formula E and the Fan Boost thing, whoever gets the Fan Boost tends to crash out anyway. So maybe it's better to not let the fans do that.
Fine. But the concept that the fans have a direct influence on the race, I think, is a grand idea. And instead of picking that ball up and running with it in Formula One, they've sort of said, well, that looks great, but that's not for us. No, we're far too highfalutin and above that. But it's nice. You know, you're right. We, in the past, our podcast has done our Driver of the Day. It's an interesting bit of feedback to get from fans. You know, perspective is important. The other problem you've got is that when you have someone like Kimi Raikkonen, his fan base is rabid and huge and vast and global. And it may well be that he just wins every single race, regardless of what he does, just because, you know, I guess the worst case scenario is Taylor Swift walks it every time.
It could happen.
You never know.
And there were some 2017 bodywork decisions made. I don't think they went into too many specifics, but the idea is to add downforce, increase speeds, lower lap times, make things more competitive. And the F1 commissioner also keen on the cockpit cover, and that could be introduced from 2017 onwards.
I think they're missing a trick here. Just off the top of my head, this has just popped into my head. I haven't thought this through. If anyone's listening to this show back and they think you really haven't thought that through, I haven't. I'll admit that. Way before I say this, but it occurs to me that the cockpit design is supposed to stop errant bouncing tires flying into the face of Formula One drivers. That's its primary requirement, if I understand it correctly. And what I think would be better is, you know, with the wheel tethers, when a car has an accident, the tires fly off and the wheel tethers are supposed to hold them in place up to a certain degree and then they release them. What if there was a bung attached to the wheel tether that was put place inside the tyre, so when the tyre popped off, it immediately deflated? Then a bouncing errant tyre would be inert because it has no internal mass. You know what I mean? So immediately,
you used a lot of big words there.
The tyre pop. I mean, they may not be the correct words.
The word bung.
So
you've got a flat tyre rolling instead of bouncing around.
Well, it's going to be effectively just flailing rubber. You know, loosely.
I feel like flailing rubber could still do a lot of damage, but a lot less damage.
Mm. I mean, I'm not saying it wouldn't still be dangerous, but it wouldn't bounce off a driver's head, potentially. And I just wonder whether anyone's looked into that thought, because you've got tethers attached to the centre of the wheel rim. Why not just thread that through?
I don't think it's just the tyres, though, because we've seen people crashing into barriers or tractors and also sustaining head injuries. So it's more about protection all round, not just things coming in.
If they have the glass, and one of the ideas is you have like full facial cover, which would stop things like the spring that hit Massa.
Mm.
So that it could have other uses. Part of me just thinks, why don't you just go all the way and just close the damn cockpit? You know, that would solve all the problems. It makes it harder for a driver to get out. And maybe it takes away from the essence of Formula One. But if a fully closed cockpit is a safer solution, and it works in Le Mans pretty well, and those style sports cars, then maybe just go all the way and just admit, you know, it's now closed cockpit racing, because that's what health and safety demands.
Hamilton would prefer it went the other way. He said, I like a different kind of car. I don't have all the answers. I just would have a preferred type of car. I love a V12 and the big, wider tyres. I saw a picture of an old Ferrari when the side pods were super low. It must have been the mid-80s and it just looked so cool with the wide track, wide wishbones and the slick tyres. Those were the days. Aw, our champion's getting nostalgic.
I mean, he might be onto something. The thing that you've got with modern Formula One is this all-encompassing problem of aerodynamics. And you can't unlearn what engineers have already learned, and you can't throw that information away and forget that you ever knew that that was a good way to make a Formula One car go faster. But there must be some way to reduce what teams are able to do in terms of aerodynamics, because it's aero that makes it harder for a car to follow another car and makes passing difficult. And we have DRS because of aerodynamics. And if you could find a way to reduce that, and then somebody should be looking into making the cars less reliant on aerodynamics or making that a smaller impact in the world of Formula One. And if that means going back to older cars, perhaps that's the way to do it. But, you know, it really comes down to who is being asked and who's being tasked with doing these things. It sounds like, for example, the closed cockpit, the right people have been looking into it. Red Bull, I know, came up with another idea, an alternative solution that was being looked at. It feels like engineers have had a say. Feels like, you know, it's being done correctly, whereas, you know, with the qualifying changes, it pretty much seems like his pie is going out of the blue. But at least with the safety things, it feels like the right people are looking at it. I wonder if maybe that somebody, a task force could be created to try and make Formula One less reliant on aero, which is mostly relevant to the rest of the world, and actually makes the racing worse in the process.
When I tweeted, why are they concentrating on qualifying when that's clearly not the problem? We had Nick Stevenson replied saying, because they refuse to believe the real problem is something they're really, really good at and in love with, aerodynamics.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that is.
They don't want to change.
That is the truth. No one in Formula One wants to make that decision. That is worrying, but also absolutely correct. Who said that?
Nick.
Genius, Nick. Genius. Crushed it. Formula One loves aerodynamics, despite the fact it's destroying its boards.
Nick may have crushed it, as you say, but I'm sure plenty of other people out there have their opinions too, and we'd like to hear them. We'd love to. You can get in touch with us, contact@sidepodcast.com, which is a new email address, contact@sidepodcast.com, or you can send us voicemails, 0121 287 225. Let us know what you think. We are hoping to be back in this podcasting business. We'd like to get your feedback. We can put together feedback shows like we did before. There's more to come.
Are you saying if people bother to get in touch and air their views, we might not only read them, but we might react to them?
Yes.
What a revelation.
I know it's a change in policy from the last 12 months and more.
Mm. I would like to know what people think of self-deflating F1 wheels.
The ones you've just made up.
Yeah. Well, some, you know, is it even possible? It seems like it should be possible. And if you know anything about engineering or inflation, not that kind of inflation, tire inflation, then, you know, I'd love to hear from
you. You're going to get all finance people and business suits. Inflation is all about
not
this.
Not that. No, oh. Don't be silly. I'd just like to know if cockpit safety is a solution to a problem that could be resolved by another means. Maybe one that's less ugly. That's all my question. You know, that's my simple question for listeners of Side Podcast this week.
That's about it for now, I think. But don't worry. I think we might be back for more podcasts this year, especially more than we did last year. But that's not a hard number to beat.
F1 is back. Testing is back. 2016 is going to be a very good year. I can feel it. I have
a tingle. I'm excited.